Hi, I'm Mal Majoros. I am an 8-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Pete Campbell, 2-time cancer survivor, friend of Sean Swarner, who we've had on the show multiple times before, has a great story. He's climbed Kilimanjaro. He has a lot of other things going on. How are you today, Pete?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. So we were just talking a little bit before we started recording, and you got a lot going on with Sean, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But let's tell me a little bit about your story. How did you find out you had cancer? Well, twice, and let's start from there.
Yeah, that started for me back in 2003. 2 months after the birth of my son, actually. So I went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. I found out I had Hodgkin's lymphoma. It was stage 2 in my neck. The options I had were a year of chemo and then followed by a month of radiation.
A year?
Yeah, it was 10 months of chemo, and it ended up being about a year.
Oh,
they hit me hard because they felt I was young and they really wanted to get it all.
That's good, but yeah.
What they told me.
Right, okay.
It was roughly a year, yeah.
Wow.
And then I did a month of radiation to my neck, and 5 years of clean scans, you know, which is the golden mark. And basically, at that time, I was clean. I put cancer behind me, and I didn't talk about it much, didn't think about it much. It was kind of behind me, mm-hmm. and that's just the way it was. And then 3 years after, so now 8 years after my original diagnosis, I started having a little nagging back pain, and unexplained. Like, it was just bizarre. And for some reason, instead of going to my normal physician, call it intuition, I went to my oncologist, and he hemmed and hawed, didn't want to do the CAT scan because of all the radiation I've had.
Mm-hmm.
But with the area, he kept tossing it back and forth, chest x-ray, CAT scan, chest x-ray, CAT scan. And he went with the CAT scan. And fortunately, he did, because we found a tennis ball-sized mass pushing between my heart and my spine, and that was what I was feeling on my back. And if he would have did the chest x-ray, we might not have saw that.
Wow.
So, yeah, and that and the fact that I went to my oncologist off the bat was probably, we talk about it still to this day. He's like, you know, you saved your own life by coming here and not going to, and I don't know why I did that. I jokingly say he was easier to be a valve. And he really was. It was funny. I could get in and see him easier than I could see my normal doctor. So that's why I went to him probably. So now I was faced with a second cancer, and the first time when you're told you have cancer, you jump through all the hoops. You just want it gone, and you don't think twice. You don't know any better, so you just, you know, jump as high as you can.
Right.
The second time, now I know exactly how I'm going to feel. At the time, I felt fine. I know once they start giving me the chemo, now I'm going to feel horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I was literally sitting on my bedside with my Metaport in, waiting for my first round of chemo for my second treatment or mm-hmm. second diagnosis. And I was honestly, thoughts were going through my head. Should I run for the door? Should I run for the door? Should I run for the door? Because I know once they plug me in, I'm going to be sick for the next year.
Right.
And there's no turning back once they start. And there's no guarantee it's going to work. So all this is playing out in my head. I get a text message from a number I don't know. And it just says, hey, I hear you're about to go through a rough time. Check out this video. I click on the link to the video, and it's a 10-minute video, ESPN video about a man named Sean Swarner, who I'd never heard of before. But
yeah, I don't know who that is either.
At the time, I'd never heard of. I honestly had never heard of
right.
him. Watch this video, and there's a part in the video where he talks about him finding out he had it the second time, and he just buries his head in a pillow and cries. And that's exactly how I felt at that moment. And it touched me. And then to watch the rest of this 10-minute video and see him not only beat two cancers, but climb Mount Everest, climb the 7 summits, and all these other amazing things. As a kid, I started hitting my nurse's call button and said, get in here. You know, we're doing this now. And that video changed my life. And that day changed my life. Sean Swarner changed my life.
How did he find you? That's the question.
That's a great question. It happened to be a nurse. I used to work at a hospital many years ago, and it would have to be a nurse friend of mine that knew I was getting ready to start. And she happened to follow Sean and knew he was a two-time survivor. She was following him on Twitter and just happened to – she took 2 minutes of her time to reach out to him to ask him for a favor, and he took 2 minutes of his time to change my life.
Wow.
And so that's the part I like to share, because now when people ask me, hey, I have a friend that has cancer, can you talk to him? Hey, so-and-so's sick or is feeling down, can you go talk to him? Someone took 2 minutes. Two people took 2 minutes, and it changed my life. So I'll take 100 minutes if need be, and I don't care. I'll never stop. If anyone asks, I will call, I will talk to you, I will try, because you never know. It could take 2 minutes to change someone's life.
I agree. And I've had the same, well, Sean didn't contact me, but I have the same experience when somebody says, oh, you know, I had a friend come up to me and said, my sister is going through breast cancer. Can you talk to her? And I always say, well, you know, I don't want to intrude. But at the same time, if I, you know, right. if you kind of see that like desperation in their eyes, or, you know, if they say something to say, you know, I, like you said, I know what you're going through and this sucks, but, you know, you're not alone. And that's like, I think that's like the most important thing that you and I as survivors can do. Because especially like the second time, but the first time when you're going through it, it's like, what the hell? Like, I'm young. Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen to me. And then when you say, yeah, you know, it happened to be my friend's sister that I'm talking about. And I took some pictures at her wedding and I'm like, oh, I know you're going to go through radiation, but you got to, you know, you got to eat your protein. You got to walk for at least 30 minutes a day. I said, and her husband was there. And I'm like, you better make sure water. Yeah. Flush out those toxins, you know, do all that other stuff, you know. And she was, I could tell, like, just knowing that somebody else knew what she was going through was like, just, you know, even though it's very fearful going through radiation and cancer and everything, it just kind of took a little weight off her shoulders. So, you know, Sean doing that to you and you doing that to other people is just fantastic.
Well, and so here's the kicker. This video inspired me to the point where I literally watched it every day. Sometimes several times a day. I had it memorized. I was showing every doctor that came in my room, every nurse. And this, I was sitting in this hospital for 3 months. I had a 3 month treatment. That was my regimen, 3 months. And after 3 months, my PET scan showed no results.
Oh.
No changes. And so had I not watched that video, had I not been so inspired by Sean, I probably would have gave up at that point. But when they told me that nothing had changed and basically they were kind of out of options as far as chemo went, I would have freaked out.
Right.
But I was calm and I was like, okay, so what do we do now? And I kept going back to that video and I'm like, he handled that as a kid. I can definitely handle that as an adult.
Right. And your doctors are probably like, whoa, he's really calm.
So I was put on an experimental drug protocol. Thankfully, they considered my recurrence. Actually, they considered it two separate cancers, but in reality, it was probably a recurrence. But thankfully, they worded it in such a way,
right?
Because the only way I made was available to get the experimental drug is by failing two courses of chemo.
Oh.
Otherwise, you had to fail too. That was the prerequisite to be part of the study and to get this experimental drug, which had a 75% cure rate.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I was part of the study. I did 3 more months with this drug. It's not a chemotherapy. It's a...
genetic?
It's a half human gene spliced with a half hamster gene.
Oh. So do you feel like you need to run in like in a thing?
Oh, my kids used to bring me cheese and they thought they were just so funny. No, but what it is it targets just the cancer cell and works its way in and destroys it from the inside out. So it literally had no side effect. Peripheral neuropathy was the only side effect.
Yeah.
But no, none of the chemo side effects. Really.
Right.
And it 3 months later, I had my scans and my tumors were almost gone, and that put me into a stage where I was able to have my bone marrow transplant, and which was my final stage of my recovery.
Wow,
and,
that's a lot. Did you feel like you had to put a lot of newspapers in the bed and like when you went to sleep?
Oh God, it was
all that hamster stuff.
It was the.
That's awesome, though.
The kids were they got such a kick out of me having hamster blood inside me. And, they got a kick out of that.
But I mean, knowing that's out there, that's pretty amazing.
Unreal. I was part of the study, and now it's actually the study's over, and it's gone through, and it's been approved, and like I said, it's still doing 75%. So that's amazing. It was one of the first drugs approved in over 30 years for Hodgkin's lymphoma. So
wow.
I was happy to be a part of the study.
Yes. So you did you said after chemo you did your bone marrow. That's you went through a lot for this, man.
Yeah, then I did a bone marrow transplant, which was 21 more days of 7 days of heavy duty chemo to kill my bone marrow.
Was that that a relative? Did you do the Be the Match?
No, I used my own. So they tested my bone marrow by obviously doing a bone marrow biopsy. Mm-hmm. Those are fun. I've had three now. They found that there was no cancer in my marrow, so I was a candidate for an auto transplant, which is my own cells.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, and it's better to take your own cells. Obviously, there's no chance of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the best option, and so far, so good.
That's
but
good.
I did, 7 days, they could kill your bone marrow. You get 1 day to rest, they call it. Hard to rest when you have no white blood cells, no red blood cells, and the only thing keeping you alive is a bunch of, you know, IVs. So.
Right. You're like, just knock me out, dude. Seriously.
And then here's my favorite part of my story. So now I'm going to get my new cells back. And if you ever had a blood transfusion, there's a triple check that they do where they all repeat something three times. There's mm-hmm. three nurses in the room, and they all triple check it. As for no mistakes can be made. And at the time, I didn't know my blood type. And my wife and I had talked about when the day I get my new cells back, and that means all the negative, all the bad, all the cancers gone out of me. Let's just keep the room positive. Let's be positive, and let's get these new cells going in a positive direction. And so they read my name. The one girl reads my name. The next girl reads my name. They read my number. The next girl reads my number. The next girl reads my number. The girl reads my blood type. B positive. The next girl says B positive. The next girl says B positive. Me and my wife just looked at each other.
That's
and we
awesome.
Just kind of looked at each other and nodded and said, how ironic.
That is ironic.
My blood type is B positive. And it fit. And we kept with it. I've changed my email address to Peter B positive. It was my motto getting through that. And I think that's what Sean saw in me. It was the way I handled my cancer, the positivity that I tried to keep going, even when I found out I failed the first round. And I think that's why he chose me to travel with him to Africa and climb Kilimanjaro eventually. So, but I made it through it, and found out my blood type was B positive. I'm glad it wasn't B negative.
Exactly. B negative, B, oh, what?
But it was very fitting, and I like that part of the story. So.
That's a great part of the story. So once you were
And it helps.
Yes. And once you were all done, when were you all done with that part?
So I finished in late November, right mm-hmm. before, probably 2 days before Thanksgiving. I made it home just the day before Thanksgiving, and basically I had to stay in a bubble for about 100 days. I couldn't have visitors. I couldn't eat raw vegetables, touch flowers, touch soil, touch raw meat.
Were you like that movie with John Travolta back in the 70s?
No, I called it the bubble. They just told me to stay at home and not leave the house. And if I did have to go somewhere, I had to wear a mask and all that. And so on the 100th day when I could finally leave my house, I took my then girlfriend and we went and got married.
Wow, that's nice.
So I figured it would be, she stuck around with me through all that for mm-hmm. that entire year. And then some. We were together for quite a few years before that. And I didn't want to wait any longer.
I think it's
that 100th day. The first day I could leave the house, I went and married her.
I'm picturing her like, you know, when they do the things for on the moon and they have those big gloves and they put them in the little like incubator. Is that how you put the ring on your finger?
The ring. No, it was a great ceremony, and I don't mind being bald in it because bald is beautiful. So
yeah,
all my wedding pictures, I have the peach fuzz look, but I'm okay with it.
Awesome.
Doesn't define me.
And how's your, was your wife, girlfriend, now wife, shocked?
About the proposal and all that?
Yes.
No, we had talked about it before, and I told her, as soon as I was healthy, I told her, I said, you know, I want to marry you, and I just didn't want to wait. And she could tell. I was just happy to be alive.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. So what, now you married your sweetheart, then when did you decide, hey, you know what, I'm going to climb Kilimanjaro with Sean?
Well, then, yeah, that's a fun part of the story. So I got better. I stayed in touch with Sean, and we became really good buddies. And it's funny. I used to joke with him. We had never met. We still never met and in person. We had talked. We had emailed. We had texted. We had Skyped. We had sent smoke signals and mirror signals, but we had never actually seen each other in person. So a couple of years went by, and I had helped him out with a bunch of different things. The New York City Marathon, he puts a team together for that. I helped him out with some fundraising for that and some shirts I had made up and just different things. And I every time he asked me to help him, I jumped at it. I mean, he gave me, you know, something that I needed at the perfect time, which was hope.
Right.
And I felt so grateful for what he gave me, that video and sharing his story with me. I just wanted to give something back. So every time he asked me, I never said no. I always helped him. So, and he always used to joke. I always thought he was joking. He'd say, hey, would you like to climb Kilimanjaro with me? And I would always say yes, but I never really thought, you know, it's Sean Swarner. He has millions of people that I'm sure he's talking to every day, that any one of them he could take to Kilimanjaro. Why me? You know?
Right.
And lo and behold, on April Fool's Day, 2015, I get a phone call from him, you know, which wasn't anything out of the ordinary. And he says, so you're still serious about going to Africa? I said, well, yeah. You know, you serious about taking me? And you've been talking about this for 3 years. And he said, yeah, pack your bags. I'll send you the itinerary tonight.
Humana, humana,
Sean, what? You know Sean.
Yes.
He's a funny guy. So I'm thinking, oh, great, you know. I pop open my computer, and I'm waiting. I'm just staring at my email, waiting for it to come through, and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then all of a sudden I realize it's April Fool's Day. Sean is known to be a prankster.
Yes.
And so I waited, and I didn't call him. I was trying to stay hopeful, and then I was like, this is a bad joke. So then I call him the next day to tell him, you know, that you're not a very nice guy. And he said, oh, my God, I forgot to hit send. And it instantly came through, and it was all real. And the next thing I know, I was training for Africa, going to Africa. I stepped off the plane. I shook his hand for the first time, and then we hugged. And then we hugged some more.
Awesome.
And like I said, we've been friends ever since. And when we got back from Africa, I went out to Colorado and visited him. I've since then been – actually, we were on the Today Show together back in February. Did a little piece on our trip to Africa, which was fun.
So how – so I know that he takes survivors to go, and we'll talk about your hiking for hope thing in a second. But how long does it take to climb Kilimanjaro? And did you have to – how long did you really have to train a lot for? Because I know –
I did. Well, the rest of the team was all from Colorado and had all been at elevation over 14,000 feet. I'm here in Michigan. There's not really anywhere to train for that kind of elevation around here. So I ran, and then I ran some more. And my goal was to keep my lungs just gasping for air as much as I could, because that was the only way I could simulate, you know, gasping for air at elevation, I guess. So I just kept running until I just could not breathe anymore. And that was how I trained for a month. I just ran and ran and ran and ran and carried lots of weight in backpacks. And I made it. I think a lot of it had to do with my mental attitude toward it. I took it very seriously. I was honoring quite a few people that have been touched by cancer, probably 25 people I added to Sean's flag personally, and that I honored on my climb. And I did not want to be the one to hold up the team in any way, or, you know, to not make it. And it wasn't just about me. So I took it very seriously, and I trained very seriously. And the minute we made the top, the rest of it the way down and the rest of our trip, the safari, I finally let loose. And, I was pretty serious on the mountain, I must say. Maybe more serious than I should have been, but I was there for a reason.
Right. So that's awesome. So, and then he said, hey, Pete, why don't you come and work for me? What? was that before Kilimanjaro or after?
No, that was after. And actually, he's mentioned that a few times. And how do you say no to somebody like him, for one, and he's given me so much. And it seems like everything the guy touches turns to gold. So I'd be a fool not to jump on his coattail, so to speak. And I want to help the guy any way I can. And this is great for everyone, I think. And I'm passionate about his organization. I'm passionate about cancer, and I'm passionate about helping him. So it's going to be fun, and I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome. So you do probably do a lot of stuff via the internet, on the phone and stuff, because, I don't think you just don't want to say, hey, family, let's just move to Colorado and hang out with John.
No.
As much as cool as that would be. But
yeah, I'd like it. the kids will be out of school in 5 years, so who knows? We'll see what happens then. Everything's over the internet right now. Cancer Climber website is actually, it's been down since 2013, I believe, with a malware issue. Sean is doing so many things that he hasn't had the time to focus on.
Right.
All the things that Cancer Climber that he needs to be, so he needs help. He's just becoming, he's exploding with all the things that he has going on right now, and which is great for him. It's great for all of us. It's great for survivors, and he's, what he does. He spreads hope. So, and he's got something. I just spoke with him before I called you, and we haven't nailed down all the final details of it yet, but he's got something very, very big coming up next year, and I'm looking forward to him announcing that.
I better be one of his first texts. I'm just saying.
To the North Pole soon, right?
Oh, he is. Oh,
he's trying to finish the Adventure Grand Slam, which is the seven summits, and then the South and North Pole.
Oh,
and he did the South Pole last year, so next year he's trying to do the North Pole. And but he's going to try and add a little special twist to it. And that's all I can say about it right now. And it's going to be huge.
He's not going to, break the thing out of the ice or anything, is he?
No. No, but when he does do this, he will be the first and only cancer survivor to complete the Adventure Grand Slam. So that's amazing all in itself. So
that is amazing. So with all this, two-time cancer survivor, climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, Sean Swarner says, dude, I need your help. And you're like, of course. You've got a lot of stuff going on, too. Just, because of Cancer Climber. And Sean, you're speaking in September at Grosse Pointe. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I happen to be friends with the president of the Grosse Pointe Women's Club. And she's actually the aunt of a young man who works at St. Jude. So I met her through St. Jude's, actually. I ran a 5K with her a couple of years ago, and then I didn't even know at the time that she was the president of the women's club, and then she found out more about my story, and then I was in the paper, and then I climbed the mountain with Sean, and then I was in the paper again, and then she asked me to, she said, hey, why don't you come out and speak at my women's club? So I'm going to be speaking there in September. I don't think she has a solid date yet, but I know it's in September.
That's exciting.
So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to something that I want to do to give back to Cancer Climber.
Yes.
I'm calling it Hiking for Hope, and I'm attempting to hike 100 miles. I'm going to probably take about a week, and I'm going to hike 100 miles straight through on the North Country Trail, which is a 4,000-mile trail system that runs from upstate New York all the way to South Dakota, with the majority of it being right through the heart of Michigan in our backyard. So I'm going to spend a week on that and hopefully raise some funds. My goal is to raise enough funds to send another cancer survivor, which is roughly $6,000. So I'm hoping to give back personally and maybe send somebody all on my own.
So
help Sean out that way.
Yeah, and because I know he does have people pay, and I know like you, I think he takes one or two gives them a free trip, and which is awesome. So
he's done it 12 years in a row, and he's taken one, and this year is the first year he's taking two.
Awesome.
And that's amazing. And we're hoping that one day we could take 10.
Oh, that would be awesome.
An entire team of just cancer survivors, completely paid for. And that, I mean, it's a lofty goal, but that's my goal. That's what I want to help him accomplish. And he mentioned it, and that's what I'm going to try and do.
Well, you guys can do anything together. I know that for sure.
Well, I believe that too.
So the 100-mile hike, I know I've seen some other people do hikes and stuff. Are you going to do any GoPros? Or, I mean, I'm sure there's not a lot of internet access there, but will you be doing any blogging or any kind of videos?
That's a great idea. I can, do have a Facebook page, a Cancer Climber Facebook page is up and running, so I could probably, that's a good point. If I have a signal, I could do some updates on there. If not, I'll definitely bring the GoPro and just throw it on after.
Right. Yeah, because I think it's interesting to see, like, you know, will you be hiking by yourself?
Tentatively.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, it's interesting to see when people do hikes of this nature and stuff when they're by themselves, like the kind of people they meet and, you know, the different things that they see on the trail. And,
yeah,
you know, because a lot of people will be like, oh, 100-mile hike, that's good for you. And there's something I would never do. And then, you know, they'll see your video and they'll be like, shut up, I need to do that. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's not that bad. Not that bad.
It sounds like a long...
I might take 7 days and actually just hike 4 or 5 and then stay camped out at just one spot for an entire day just to kind of relax and then finish it off with a 1 or 2 day hike after that.
So you're starting where and ending where?
I haven't figured it out. I've been in contact with actually the president of the North Country Trail Association, and I kind of told him my story and what I want to do. And mm-hmm. So he's narrowed down 2 different spots, one in the Upper Peninsula and one in the Lower Peninsula. So I'm choosing between one of those 2 options. I'm not sure which one yet. The one in the Lower Peninsula is somewhere through the Manistee National Forest.
Oh, awesome.
And I love that area, so I'm kind of leaning toward that.
Sweet. Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I love West Michigan. It's nice over there.
Well, yeah, that's...
And aren't you over there?
I am. I'm in Petoskey, about a half hour from the Mackinac Bridge, so...
Oh.
I'm right near Mackinac.
Well, the North Country Trail runs right by there, so maybe I'll do that section and I'll just stop in and see you.
You should. That would be awesome. And then you could upload all your stuff.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow. So how do we find out about your speaking engagement in September?
Oh, well, you could follow me, I guess, on mm-hmm. Facebook, just Pete Campbell. Or let's see. I guess the Grosse Pointe Women's Club mm-hmm. should have a website. I have never been on their website.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
So
and
I
then
admit that.
When we can find that for you, and then I'm sure people will want to hear all about your hike and everything, and they'll probably want you to start speaking, and they'll be like, Sean's great, but we want to talk to Pete. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Just joking, Sean.
I my last speaking engagement, I said a little joke, and I mentioned that Sean was the 7th most inspirational speaker, and that one time he told me he was inspired by me, which must make me the 6th most inspirational speaker. In
exactly.
And I got quite a few laughs, and that was about it. I don't think they bought it. But.
Oh, come on. You got a lot going on, and it's pretty amazing. And when I saw you were speaking, I'm like, hey, I need a show this week. Let me talk to Pete. And then I was just listening to him, like, oh my gosh, why didn't I talk to you earlier?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you contacted me.
That's awesome.
And let's stay in touch. Us Michiganders have to work together.
Heck yeah! So, when people want to get a hold of you or Sean, how can they do that?
That's easy to do. You can look Sean up anytime at mm-hmm. SeanSwarner.com. And then Sean at cancerclimber.org mm-hmm. and I'm available at Pete@cancerclimber.org or at Peter, the letter B, the word positive at Gmail.
Nice. And you also have
Peter B positive@gmail.
And you also have the Cancer Climber Facebook page, the website. We're working on that, getting all the
yeah.
bugs out of the
Don't go to the website. There's a malware issue that we're working on, and being a nonprofit, it's tough trying to get people to do things for free.
Right, I hear you. But once they find out about Sean, I mean, like you said, once you see that 7-minute video, it changes everything.
There you go.
Well, that was awesome, Pete. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with me today. If you hang on, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mel Majoros. I am the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's the Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.